Hey, it's Kelly here. Welcome to another episode of Starting a Counseling Private Practice. Today I'm joined by Shawnee Gardner, who's an LCSW in New York. She's super passionate about her story in recovering and overcoming burnout, so much so that she started a Facebook group for women of color who are facing it. So today we're going to talk about her story and learn together what you can do when starting your practice so that you can prevent burnout. We're really big into this here at ZinniMe, and I'm really excited to share Shawnee with you. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I've truly been looking forward to this all week, so I'm really excited to dive into it.
I'm so glad. How long have you been in practice for?
So I graduated with my MSW in 2019, and then I did like I was getting my hours and all that fun stuff. So I actually started my private practice in February of 2022.
Why did you go the private practice route? I mean, there's so many ways to use your degree.
Yeah, I mean, when I started my MSW, I knew that I wanted to be a therapist and be a clinician. I knew that like mental health care was my calling. I'm really passionate about the mental and emotional well-being of Black and Brown people, and I just felt like that was my lane. So I always knew I wanted to do clinical. And in the beginning, I actually did not think I was going to do a private practice at all. It was sort of this thing of like, I'll spend my time in the trenches. And then, like, when I'm, 50 or 60, I'll start a private practice then. And so I actually started my first job post licensure, my LMSW. I was doing traumatic grief work for folks who had lost loved ones to violence in Philadelphia. And I was working at this nonprofit. I thought that they were doing really incredible work, but I just didn't quite align with the funders of the nonprofit. And so that sort of I learned a lot about like even nonprofits doing incredible work, just being a values aligned person. It sort of shocked me like who was funding this project. And I was like, this doesn't quite fit. So when the pandemic hit, I knew that I needed some like flexibility and I really wanted to work from home. And so that's when I transitioned into like a group private practice. And when I got there, I started thinking like, okay, I could have like my own private practice. Like I could be an entrepreneur and sort of go down that route. So it kind of took me a bit to get to, having a private practice. And it was not in the card. Like, I didn't think it was in the cards for me. Like, I actually didn't expect it at all, but it just felt like a necessary step for me to take at the time that I took it.
Can you share more about why or what's behind the necessity?
Yeah. So, pandemic hit, moved back to New York. I joined this group private practice, and at first it was good. I like had a nice time there. I thought that the work that I was doing was important. I was getting clients. It felt good. But and this is something that I know about myself, that I'm very much a rule follower, very much a perfectionist, and that is the perfect recipe for an employer to exploit you. I mean, it just is. So at this group private practice, I was doing so much. I was maintaining a full caseload. I was doing the company newsletter. I was onboarding new clinicians. I was creating trainings. Like, I just had so much on my plate. And I really believe that I was like weaved into the culture of this place. I saw myself like being there for a while and sort of building out the offerings that they had there. And then they laid me off very abruptly. And I was just blindsided. Like, I had never felt that way before, especially because I did put so much of myself in the work there. And so I just felt so expendable. And their reasoning was that like I wasn't hitting my like caseload metrics. And that broke my heart even more because I'm just like, okay, I had a dip in my clients, but does that make me, disposable in that way? And so it was very painful.
I'm sorry that happened. also, I know you're not alone in it. Because I think a lot of people come to us starting from working in group practices. There is a good chunk of our coaching clients that we've worked with, and 9 times out of 10, there's a lot of exploitation happening. Sometimes it's truly like you join a group practice and you're like, I want to do this all myself. Like really just right from the get-go realizing, oh, I'm not meant to be an employee. I'm meant to be the leader, you know? But a lot of times it comes from this place of working and not getting paid for it, getting paid inappropriately, like being treated as an employee, but paid as a contractor. There's just so many different things that we see. And so if you are listening to this, I hope that you hear that you're not alone. Like, thank you, Shawnee, for being vulnerable about that part, because I do think it is common. And it is this, and that's what capitalism does. It makes us a cog in the wheel. It makes us expendable. And if you are a group practice owner listening to this, whenever a staff, especially an employee, is not making their numbers, it's a time to get curious and to really understand what's happening and to come up with a solution. And if the solutions don't work, it should not be a surprise to the person, right, that they're being let go. It should be like a co-created effort to serve the community. So I like, what did that do to your, like, were you burnt out already then when you started your practice? Or
Yes. So thankfully, by the time I was laid off, I had completed my clinical hours. Thank goodness, because that would have been a mess to try to find a new place. So I got laid off in November. I sat for the exam in January, and then I started my private practice in February. And I misspoke. I actually started my private practice in February of 2023. I got my years mixed up because time has been weird in the last couple of
Yes,
years.
I agree.
But yeah, so November of 2022, I got laid off. Then January, I took the exam. February, I got started. And so I literally did not give myself a break at all. And I noticed that I had taken all that I had sort of internalized from that group practice of like my only worth and my only value is like how many clients I could get into the door, how many sessions I can have a week. And I essentially just took that with me into my private practice when I started. And so, as you can imagine, that was not a great way to start.
Also common, right? Like we're taught systems of oppression and then we replicate them if we haven't taken the time to heal from them. I think it's sometimes we are unaware of like how much has hurt us until we're with people that can reflect that back, or we have the space to internally do that. And it's not everyone has the time to take and rest either, you know, like you have to start working for some people don't have the other options. So
Totally. And so I do give myself a lot, like my past self, a lot of compassion because, like, we're all just trying to survive under capitalism. And that's all I knew. It was just like, get the clients in the door, see who you can, get that caseload filled as fast as possible. And so much of those, it's just white supremacy culture, right? Like this urgency, this perfectionism that I very much was reenacting through starting my business.
So how, like, can you walk us through the journey of enacting that to healing it?
Oh, yeah. I remember the day so vividly. So this was like a couple months into my private practice. I fully had the Sunday scaries. I was like so anxious about the work week to come. And I just was like, I can't do this anymore. Like I just cannot continue to base my worth in like how successful my business is. And I knew that I had to be much more proactive about like my own healing journey in regards to burnout, and something had to change. So the two things that I had sort of come to mind is like I had to change my mindset and like my beliefs and what was ingrained in me. And I had to change like my external conditions of like exactly how I was running my business. So I think the first thing that really changed things for me is just admitting that I needed help. I think that that was point one. I am so used to like being independent. I'm so used to being of service to everyone else. And so the idea of like investing in myself felt really foreign and deeply uncomfortable. But I'm also doing something new. I've never ran a business before. And so I realized that like I need a business coach. Like I need to invest in myself in this business and get help and support. So I hired a business coach. We're in like a group container, which was really great and validating and supportive. I learned some like mindset stuff, but I also learned just like how to market effectively, how to have like, admin days and just like little things like that that just didn't come naturally to me. And at the same time, I also realized that like if I'm gonna do this work, I need to have community around me. And I was so intentional about finding like other Black and Brown therapists who are in private practice, who are doing the work that I wanted to do. And as you were mentioning, like when I was in these spaces, that's really when it was sort of mirrored back to me of like, what would it be like if you challenged that perfectionist part of you a little bit more? Or like, what would it be like if you sort of detached your worth from this business and just know that you're worthy? And I totally credit like my community and the people that supported me throughout that time. And there was something really special about creating my own sort of like community and folks that supported me.
And I just like
It was
point
huge.
that out too, because I want to just highlight that. I think that that's an important part, not only for support, but for safety. I think a lot of
Absolutely.
times, especially when you come from an oppressed, marginalized identity, and someone's like, oh, just go market your practice. And there's no consideration for the safety, like how much you need to create that for yourself to be able to run your business from a place that feels good for you. So I also
Absolutely.
love that about what you're talking about, not just from the perspective of knowledge or support, but it's to me, it resonates like that safety factor of people that understand and are not going to bypass a bunch of your experience or minimize it and really fully honor the full picture here of like what you are creating and from where you are creating it.
Yeah, that was, I get chills just thinking about if I didn't have that community, like where would I be right now? And so that's like a huge part of what helped me heal was to actually like surround myself with people that were safe, as you're describing. And that safety kind of allowed me to, I guess, like reconsider some of the really core beliefs that I had. And so I would say another huge part of my like burnout recovery is just decentering money. Like that feels like very counterintuitive. It feels very scary to be a business owner. Like we're so used to business and revenue and money and the bottom line and all that kind of stuff. And I had to come to the conclusion of just like, I cannot run this business and money be the center of everything. Yes, I have to survive. Yes, I have to pay the bills. But if every decision that I make is coming from this like scarcity, like desperate place, like it's just not going to work.
So what do you
And
center
so
instead?
I center connection and I center like just feeling like it's a good fit. So essentially, what I mean by that is when I first started, I was just taking anyone who, would pay my rate or who would fit my schedule. Like I was like, yeah, I can work with that. And yes, I can work with a whole bunch of, like presentations and diagnoses that people come in with, but I wasn't working within my zone of genius, so like within the parts of me that I was actually like excited to do the work. So I think centering connection and centering good fit, I really like niched down. I was like, let me reflect on the clients that like truly light me up. Like, who are the people that I'm like, yes, every day I'm excited to see them. And it also feels counterintuitive because the minute that I like niched down, I feel like that's when clients were coming into the door. That's when like my caseload felt very stable. People were coming to their sessions regularly. Like everything just sort of like evened out a bit.
Yeah, I would say, what we say that is centering clinical outcomes. Like everything is in service of your joy and better clinical outcomes for the client. And if you love what
Yes.
you're doing, that enhances the therapeutic relationship. So you create this like cycle of excellence, so to speak, of just like
Yes.
if you're focused on, I know I'm passionate and I know I can help this person. Yeah, you're gonna have better retention, better outcomes. Like that's success. And then yes, you want to set a good fee for that to be able to
Yes.
pay your rent or your mortgage. We do need to live, but I love the decentering. It's not saying elimination, y'all. So if everyone's like, oh,
Yes.
but yeah, but when you're making a decision, like I gotta take this client because I need money in the bank account. And I understand that there's privilege to that too. And some
Yes.
people do not have the ability to tolerate the risk of the waiting between like starting and filling. And if that's you, then you may need like a part-time job. Like everyone has different risk tolerance and circumstances that allow for tolerating that. But what I find beautiful of what you're saying is that we see this time and time again is that when you focus on what is best for you and the client, it creates a business that can really thrive.
I could not agree with you more. Absolutely. And thank you for naming the privilege involved and even being able to do that. I mean, even having my own private practice and
Yeah.
like being able to not be a W-2 employee somewhere else, I feel so incredibly privileged to be able to do that. And I am in a two-income household, and so that of course helps.
Yeah.
But again, it just wasn't something that felt accessible or possible for me. And so the fact that I did take the risk, I mean,
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying
great.
that anyone can decenter it. It's just what you
Yes.
need in order to be able to do that might be look a little different is all. That like,
Absolutely.
yeah, like someone may need to work a little bit different kind of part-time job or whatever, or have a different kind of savings before they can make the leap, that sort of thing. So
Agreed. Yeah.
now where are you at with your practice?
Oh my gosh. I feel so much better. I'm so grateful. So once I sort of moved through sort of the decentering of the money, centering connection and good fit, and really valuing myself and my worth, and sort of having all that inner work, I also realized that boundaries were going to be very important for me as well as I navigated this business. So, like, I set very specific hours. I don't work Fridays. Like, I'm so excited that I was able to, yes, I was able to make that happen because that was something that was important to me. Like, I always dreamed of having like a 4-day work week, and to be able to achieve that goal and like still be able to get clients, even if I have to say no to a certain time that they want to meet or whatever the case may be. So that was really important to me of just like, I'm going to run this business based off of how I want my life to look. Like, how do I want to live? And how can my business serve my life? And so that's where I am now. I'm able to see the clients that I'm so passionate about seeing. My caseload is very stable, very consistent. I do get new clients into the door, and they have all been really great fits. And I just, attest that to like how much I've worked to make sure my marketing is very clear. Like, I'm speaking to my ideal client, which has been really helpful. And I kind of feel like my practice is sort of running on autopilot almost. Like, it doesn't take as much
Yeah.
mental capacity to like keep
Yes.
it going,
Yeah. That
which is
usually it's
great.
way more in the beginning, isn't it? I mean,
Yes.
and I think that I want to highlight that too for people who are listening. If you're in the starting phase and it's not always going to be the amount of work that it is currently, that once you put in this front end work, it pays off long term and then you have systems in
Yes.
place and stuff. So it does get better.
Oh yeah, it absolutely gets better. It is something that like is really hard on the front end, but it does sort of level out. At least in my experience, that has been true. And although I'm decentering money, I am making the most money I've ever made in my career, which again, just it's almost like a validation of just like, no, this work that you're doing is important. Your people are out there, and the ebbs and flows of your business are okay. You will survive. And I've been able to be really thoughtful about like business savings and sort of having a cushion for myself and paying myself a livable wage and all of that kind of stuff. So I've been able to be really thoughtful about just all of the systems at play as well. So it's created this like very lovely business for myself. And I'll say I'm so comfortable in my private practice that I have started a second business as well.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, of course. So I recently started a group coaching program specifically for women of color therapists who are wanting to recover from burnout and also build almost like a burnout proof private practice. I know that so many women of color therapists have sort of been in the exact same place that I have been, of just sort of like, I'm doing this out of necessity. I'm doing this from a scarcity place of trying to just survive. And how do we make these businesses serve us in a way instead of like us serving them? And so I like to describe it as like half and half. So it's like half burnout recovery. So I do a lot of like nervous system regulation stuff, how to move through stress and the ups and downs, also some of the mindset work of like, you know, like go letting go of the decentering of the money and all that kind of stuff. And then the second half is just basic business building skills, like how do you market? How do you set your rate? Well, how do you set your ideal schedule? What do you do about admin days? How do you stay organized? And I think the combination of the two really speaks to the unique needs of any of us who've experienced burnout, but specifically for women of color, because we've just been socialized to be of service and to give and to put ourselves on the back burner. And this is an opportunity for us to put ourselves first and actually prioritize our needs so that we have a full cup so that we can support our communities. So I'm really excited about it.
I love that. We'll share the link to the group in the show notes. For someone who's listening and who is starting their practice, what do you want them to know?
Yeah, I would love to recommend that anyone who is just starting their practice out to really sit with their why. I think that what I was able to always come back to was like, why am I doing this work? What makes me passionate about it? Why am I choosing to do a private practice over just getting a W-2 job? And having your why be your anchor. Because there are going to be ups and downs. There are going to be times you're like, oh man, should I just get a job? I know I thought that at so many points in building my business. And allowing for, so knowing your why is number one. And then just being really clear on like, what are your boundaries and what is your zone of genius? So even if you're like a parent and you just can't do evenings, that's okay. Like you get to decide what your ideal schedule is, what works for you and your lifestyle, and no one can tell you the right or wrong for that. So, yeah, that's my advice.
You have any little extra note for women of color who are therapists?
Yeah, I think that it's time to prioritize ourselves. I feel like so much, emotional labor, physical labor. You know, a lot of Black women sort of experience this like superwoman kind of syndrome thing happening. And we're just so used to giving and pouring and pouring and pouring out. And we can't pour from an empty cup. And so we have to be taken care of. We have to be prioritized. Our needs have to be at the forefront. So then we even have the capacity to be a support to our families, our communities, our friends, whoever. And it really starts with prioritizing our own needs. So that's my PSA. Invest in yourself, invest in the things that you need and want, prioritize yourself.
Love that. Thank you, Shami, for sharing your story.
Of course, this is really great.
And I think it'll resonate with so many people that, that coming from other places where you're not valued and continuing that devaluation in your own business and learning that actually that whole system isn't something that we want to be a part of and how to divest from that in a way that allows you to still pay your bills and but also that gives you more fulfillment and centers your joy at all things. So
Yes,
thank you.
yes. Thank you. This was a really incredible conversation. I really appreciate this platform for me to share my
Yeah.
story.
So if you're listening, please go check out Shawnee. We'll have all of her stuff in the show notes. And if you need more support on starting a counseling practice, we have over 10 plus hours of free training on our website. Some are CE eligible. And our hope for you is that you can create a practice that really contributes to a better life for you and better clinical outcomes for your clients. So until next time, take care.